Okay, there we go.
Here we are.
All right. What? I don't know.
Welcome to Atomic Mind Dump. I'm Bobby Robinson.
I'm Brian Manning, a.k.a. the Joke Stepper. This episode is my intervention.
And I'm a man from Florida.
Well, this is everybody's intervention. Because we're both just... way too excited to be here. That's true.
Exactly.
That's actually really true. I'm like, I'm really trying to get in there.
I was just talking to a Florida man, and I think we, the way it is, since we all agree, we're that good.
So you have, goes without saying.
You have a joke lined up, and then someone else says something, and then you have to discard the joke. But that doesn't matter, because you're going to have another one on the next topic anyway.
Yeah.
Although, if you think your joke is funnier than the other person's, wrong. You're wrong. Yeah. The funniest one is the one that gets said. That's the rule.
I guess it's podcast etiquette, so we just
gotta I think it's conversation etiquette.
Yeah.
In my house, it's usually loud. Everyone talks over each other. You kind of say the same joke 5 times just to make sure people heard it.
So,
this
okay.
This is going to be a lame episode. We're all just polite.
Yeah.
Before we get started, are you pulling up what I think you're pulling up? Okay, don't show
him
that yet.
My junk.
But we gotta let's have this conversation. Brian, as the party that hasn't had this talk yet.
Okay.
When you hear the name Atomic Mind Dump, what comes to mind?
For me, it was the radioactive symbol, but now it's the orange toilet that he put on the...
Like the phrase Atomic Mind.
I picture, like, you know, like the warhead candy with the nuke coming out of the guy's head, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, apparently Atomic Mind Dump has a logo that's been made out for it already.
Like an actual...
It's a sketch.
Okay, I thought you were saying someone else already has the name and a logo.
No. It's a sketch that...
We get to call our warheads to it.
It's a sketch that was made a long time ago.
Okay.
And I just never... We never finished it.
Okay.
And he wants to...
And I'm all for this one.
I'm against it.
But here's the sketch. Here's a sketch.
Okay. Oh, I'm the tiebreaker.
Okay.
Here's the sketch. You gotta touch the screen so it doesn't go blank.
A brain taking an atomic dump on a toilet with a mushroom cloud coming out of its head. I'm all for this.
Yes! Yes! Overruled, Bobby!
This is fantastic.
Well, that's for sure.
That's our new logo.
That's our logo.
And you can go to atomicmindump.com and not see this in our show notes.
You'll see it when we put it up on the logo forever, because this is our logo now.
For our soundcloud.com/atomicmindump page.
Yeah. There you go. If they found it, they already found it.
I don't like the toilet motif. I thought dump was like, you know, letting things off your chest, like getting your thoughts out there.
And that's what I'm saying.
You shit it out.
But I didn't know it literally meant taking a shit, like taking a
dump.
Like every word of the logo is literal.
There's nothing wrong with that. I don't see a problem.
We're just taking it way...
Way literal.
Like a 13-year-old is like, dump like shit, right? First of all, watch your language.
Shitting our thoughts out.
I know we probably have some things like that, but I just...
Well, I mean, it doesn't matter.
I heard like an interesting thing on the way here. Disney's actually remaking Indiana Jones.
With Chris Pratt.
Yeah, Chris Pratt. They bought the rights for Indiana Jones from Paramount in 2013. And now they're like finally going into like making their own movie.
Was that part of the Lucas acquisition, the Star Wars stuff?
I guess so. I mean, it was only 2 years ago, so that's when they bought Star Wars.
Dude, man, Parks and Recreation launched that guy.
That guy, oh, yeah.
He's a bad dude from Parks and Recreation.
I keep going back and thinking about him. I'm like, wait, that guy?
But what do you think about the idea of... Because it's going to be a reboot. It's not going to continue, right?
I don't know.
They're not going to bring him in and say, oh, he's young again. This is part 5.
I want it to be like James Bond. Like, he's our American James Bond, or this guy that... He's played by different actors, but it's like a different
story. I wouldn't mind that, but they did advance the timeline through the 4 or three films. I don't know how much of a fan you are. I say four films.
You like the fourth one?
I accept the fourth one.
You accept the fourth one?
Like it doesn't exist.
Yeah. That ant thing with the
giant
human eating ants, whatever. Yeah. That part was like, come on.
That part was?
Not that part. I mean, that was one of the main parts that got me.
Because one of the parts people hate is one of my favorites, the greaser monkeys, the same haircut. I like that one.
Really? I thought everyone hated the fridge part.
The fridge part and the alien part. And I was like, I'm thinking, oh, you hate the alien part? You prefer the magical cup of youth that heals people? Okay. All right.
Hey, that was part of Jesus.
The face-melting Ark of the Covenant. Oh, never mind. Again, aliens is what I
powered by Jesus.
Powered by Jesus.
We'll accept one thing at a time.
Jesus aliens would have been accepted.
If that would have actually been better.
But what's that kid's name? The one with the little Chinese kid.
Short Round?
Short Round.
You call me Dr. Jones, lady. I love the second one. The second one's great.
I could use those.
I gotta rewatch those. I haven't seen those in a long time. I'm like, you guys make references. I'm like, the refrigerator scene.
Oh, that's part
four. That's part four. We're talking about the new one. That we remember very vividly. It's always the one you hate the most that you remember.
But I don't know how they're making that new one is going to be pretty good. I mean, I just saw all I saw was a trailer for Jurassic Park with what was his name, Pratt in there,
Chris Pratt
in there, and that was like
he's in Jurassic Park.
Yeah,
the new Jurassic Park. Yeah,
he has like friendly raptors that I don't know. They're like pets. I don't know. I kind of like the idea.
And they're going around in bubbles or whatever.
Bubbles.
Yeah, it's like they didn't learn their lesson from the first Jurassic Park. You know, from the They keep forgetting, oh yeah, dinosaurs are scary and dangerous. Forgot about that.
But for Indiana Jones, though, I mean, you're going to get a lot of people saying they don't want, even though they like the idea, they don't want essentially a reboot. I know you want it like James Bond, but I say why not? It's not like they're going to say, oh, the first four don't count.
It's better than them making the... What, remember Young Indiana Jones?
Oh, the TV show?
The TV show? Or
was that a TV show?
Yeah, well, I think it was a TV show where he was like... It was just Indiana Jones, but a young guy plays him.
I remember coming across those as a kid, really excited, because my dad had the Indiana Jones box set where it had the originals, and then it would have the Young Indiana Jones, and I was like, oh, cool, they made more of these! I'm watching them like... This isn't Indiana Jones.
It was just a young guy. I figured they would put Shia LaBeouf as the next Indiana Jones.
I guess
Jones.
I'm the only one that would be like, I'm okay with that.
I was okay with that. It wasn't him that killed it. It wasn't him that ruined the last...
No, I wouldn't say that. I figured they would put him in there first, but I could see Chris Pratt as Indiana Jones.
Although I'm sure... If actual cannibal Shia LaBeouf was people would love it.
Cannibal you haven't seen that?
Never mind.
You haven't seen the cannibal Shia LaBeouf?
Actual cannibal Shia LaBeouf?
What? No.
He's hiding in the darkness.
Once the episode's over, you have to watch YouTube.
Okay.
And then record a breathy outro about, so I saw the... I'm out of breath. It's so good.
I'm always out of breath when I'm on this headset. No, it's in my face, so it catches the breathing.
So speaking of the idea of the reboot, though, they just announced an all-female cast for the Ghostbusters reboot.
Oh.
I'm in.
Gay.
Gay.
It's going to be like...
Who's directing it? Is Aykroyd in charge?
It's the guy that did Bridesmaid.
Oh, I'm in.
And two of the four Bridesmaids are in it.
Oh, that's awesome. Bridesmaid was good.
Bridesmaid was good. I'd say that was all right. It's just I don't want them to be like Charlie's Angels. Like
I don't want them to get their estrogen all over everything.
Yeah.
They're going to reach all over
it's still a comedy. I mean, it's I think they're trying to... What they didn't want to do is because Ghostbusters 3 was, you know, being made the whole time, and then Harold Ramis passed away, and they're like, well, I don't want to try to remake it now, so he is essentially trying to do a reboot.
They were trying to remake it with the original.
They were going to make part three. This is not part three with the female cast. This is a complete reboot. Yeah.
Huh. I remember when I was a kid, they had the Ghostbusters, like the original. I think it started out with the cartoon, right? the original, like the very, there was gold, the cartoon was the first thing, and then they made the movie from the cartoon?
No. They made the movie, and are you talking about the real Ghostbusters, or are you talking about that Filmation 60s TV show with the gorilla, and then they turned that into a cartoon, and then Ghostbusters is completely different as a movie, and that became another cartoon called The Real Ghostbusters. Because the name Ghostbusters was used decades before.
I don't know. I was like four, so I don't remember that. it's all convoluted. In my whole timeline around that time, I was on heroin.
Our warheads are upset that Tony thought the cartoon came before the movie.
I'm not calling them warheads, for God's sakes.
I forgot they're kippers. The crossfitters.
We're calling them warheads. You're not invited to this
party. We don't have fans.
Like, I'm not calling them little monsters. I call them assholes.
Every morning, and I call myself a warhead. All right, warhead. Let's get this done.
You're good enough.
I'm smart enough.
You're smart enough.
I'm angry enough.
That's actually really cool, because the whole female remake of the whole franchise, I think that's like what you got to do when you reboot something. Like, if you're going to reboot Batman? Make him black!
like the Human Torch is now black for the Fantastic Four.
Oh, that's awesome. See,
is he? Yeah. I couldn't tell. I saw the teaser trailer, but I couldn't tell who was supposed to be who.
It's the kid from Chronicle and The Wire.
But I don't know, but
when you say his name, you have to say Michael B. Jordan. Otherwise, people are like, Michael Jordan's making movies? Is he dunking on Dr. King? Michael B. Jordan.
Space Jam 2.
Fantastic Four. Space Jam 2. What's up, Doc? Yeah, he's the Fantastic Four. And, you know, every time they cast a non-white as a comic book character, the racists come out.
That's not canonical.
How dare they turn that fictional character into a different race?
Yeah. Get out of my Fantastic Four! What's that? The Bill Burr one was like talking about every time that was tired of. The white race.
I'm not going to do the Bill Burr version. We're not about to get buried.
Get out of the pool!
Which one? What are you talking about?
He had a bit about, like, he's tired of all these anti-these movies where they're, like, you know, they're going back in time and they make a movie about, you know, the football team that was all black.
Oh, you're talking about the one with
the football team that
Terrence
was all
Howard is the swimming coach?
Yeah, now they have one with the swimming coach swimming through, and it's like, hey! All the white guys are like, hey, get out of the pool!
Everyone's racist.
That's the most generic movie, though. It's like, and Alan's here to... Oh, Chad, our fact checker, brought to you by Carl Jr.
Are we going to let him in?
Let him in.
Let him in.
Let them wait.
What's going on?
No, it's not bothering. Come on in.
No, that's rude. You didn't interrupt us.
All right. Are they coming in or not? Okay, get out of here.
This whole part is going to be edited out.
Get out of here.
Good.
It's going to take all
of the door open.
It's going to take 24 hours for Bobby to edit this now.
Actually, I uploaded the last one last night.
Yeah, I saw it.
Pretty quick.
I guess he didn't want to hear this episode. He's constantly bugging us.
Who, Chad?
Alan. Our number one warhead.
Again, Alan is Brian's brother. Twin brother.
Or is he? How come you're going to like give all Brian's information away, but we can't get your real name?
Okay, you know he's from Florida. you know he's a former hitman for the CIA.
Former heroin addict. Been off it since, you know, I was six. So
that was a dark five years.
Is that why you thought Ghostbusters cartoon came out first?
Yeah. Okay. I think I wasn't sure if it was Ghostbusters. I was watching Teddy Ruxkin and just really freaking out.
Show, or are you just watching a Teddy Ruxpin talk?
Actually, that is freaking cool.
Hi, Tony.
Have you guys seen the art piece where the guy took a bunch of Teddy Ruxpin dolls, put them on a wall, and
wait, who do you say Teddy Ruxpin again?
I don't know how to say it now.
You could say Ruckspin. Was it Ruckskin?
Ruckskin, right?
Ruckspin.
They took a bunch of Teddy Foreskins.
Acceptable.
And he ran like the tweets of the world through each one, so they're each talking like people's tweets out.
Are controlling it? Like somebody's
no,
tweets?
No, it's just picking up tweets. Like, they're not tweeting at it. It's just picking up tweets that are, like, being posted each time.
And the rep skin, Teddy would top skin,
the rep skin. Yeah, they would each say what was being written. And it was actually kind of freaky. So I was just like...
Wow, that's kind of... art.
So it says
very artsy.
In the voice, the Teddy the rep skin voice?
I don't remember, but it was very unsettling. I think it was just the Microsoft Sam voice.
Okay.
So, anyways, there's also more talking about our origin stories. We tend to get very racist on this every now and then.
No, we.
So, somebody gets racist around here. I'm not going to say it's you. I'm not going to say it's me.
I crash daily.
So, we have to do a little bit of origin. Okay. One of us... Actually, we could make this into a contest. Okay.
Who's the least racist?
No.
You're giving them our ethnic backgrounds because we did that the second episode, I think.
Did we?
Yeah.
Now we have to make it a contest, right?
Okay.
Okay, we didn't make it about food, so it wasn't very clear. Okay, one of us, all right, is Filipino and white, right? One of us is Japanese and Irish, and one of us is Mexican and Swedish or something.
I like how you guys get nationalities with your wife.
And now we know who's and white.
Good job.
What is this contest? Were we giving away?
So I don't know. We're just having a contest. In the comments, try to guess who's who.
Or just make fun of us as you will.
Yeah.
Wait, is that your best our racist?
No, that's just to say, that's just to show
that
we are a multinational corporation.
I think you're trying to explain away our racism.
Yeah. I'm just making it okay. That's all. Hey, we're allowed to be racist.
But it's never okay.
Look at all the League of Nations in here.
It's never okay, but I'm not going to stop you.
I think it's always okay.
So about that black human torch.
My best friend's a black human torch.
Oh boy.
Just like black exploitation, right? When he says flame on. And then, like bass guitar starts like bump
bump. That's not what he's saying. You're racist.
It's okay, I'm half white.
Except for
that's what qualifies me okay for this. Okay.
So this episode is called Qualified Racism.
There you go. Stick with that name, Bobby.
Call it if you want.
I don't know where to go with this.
Want a story?
Oh, I got a story.
Okay, go ahead.
A Florida feline has been dubbed a zombie cat. This kind of links to the Ghostbusters.
Feline or feline?
Feline. Is a zombie cat.
This is the cat that died and was buried and
got hit by a car and was buried.
So that's real?
It dug up in 5 days.
I thought that was like
Did you see the picture of it?
Yeah.
It's all jacked
up. I thought
it
was a screenshot from Pet Sematary.
Well, it's a real thing from Pet Sematary.
Yeah, well, that's what it is. They buried it and it came back to life.
No, I need a picture of the actual cat.
You think it's just Pet Sematary?
Yeah.
You think that's what it is?
Yeah.
That poor cat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got like one dead eye now. And like,
yeah, it gets
from the car accident though, right? Not from digging through dirt.
Well, the whole side of the face is all
probably didn't help.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
I like, he can, the story goes, the owner couldn't bury it, so he gave it to the neighbor to bury. And
did he say burger?
He got burger.
And then he went to
the door. And then he just said, well, what's to say the neighbor just didn't leave it laying in the backyard and threw it in the trash?
Oh, so he's claiming he buried it and the cat dug itself up.
Yeah, I'm like, the neighbor disposed of the body.
This gets... Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I wouldn't...
Unless
Barry no cat.
Unless he was experimenting on the body Frankenstein style.
Better.
Neighbor Frank Frankenstein.
Feline Stein.
Frank N. Stein.
I can't.
I keep forgetting Frankenstein's the name of the doctor, not the monster.
The only reason I remember is because of the Ben Stiller show when he was Frankenstein's monster and they're at a party and he's arguing with the bride of Frankenstein. He's like, the last time I'm Frankenstein's monster. So I'll remember that forever because of a joke.
I read the book and I was kind of disappointed like that the whole thing, how it is, because in the book he can talk.
Spoilers.
Yeah, he's not a monster. He's not like going around going, you know. He's actually has intelligence. So that was like everything I read in the book just ruined Frankenstein for me. Every time I see Frankenstein or anything that reminds me of Frankenstein, it's like, that's not Frankenstein.
Frankenstein's monster. I thought we discussed this. It's Frankenstein's monster.
Yeah. Every example of Frankenstein that's in popular culture is
a lie.
Yeah, it's all a lie. It's all based off that movie.
Even the Robert De Niro one?
It could be that
name. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that one. No, I didn't watch it. I think it looks stupid, but that's probably more accurate than any other one.
I don't know why I watched it, but I watched I, Frankenstein, the dubstep Frankenstein movie.
What?
Where the trailer had all the dubstep in there.
Oh, is that on Netflix?
Yeah, with Two-Face. What's his name? Aaron Eckhart?
Was it good?
As Frankenstein's monster? It wasn't good.
Oh.
Did it at least have some good drops?
Yeah, he dropped the bass plenty of time. I didn't know when he was going to drop the bass. It was always a pleasant surprise.
The entire movie is just waiting for the bass to drop.
When will the bass drop? And the credits roll up, I guess, or not.
Oh my god!
They waited until the credits!
Stay till the credits, everyone!
Until after
it doesn't, yeah. It doesn't drop till after the credits roll.
That movie is bad. So, anyway, here's a two-parter. I don't know if you guys heard of the hipster in the UK that was trying to get crowdfunded for £13,000 to go on 13 dates. I don't know if you guys have heard of this guy.
Like, had him lined up, or he was just...
He had a plan on how he would spend his £1,000 per date, and he was asking for funding so he can go get these dates. He didn't have dates lined up. He's just saying, I need you to fund my 13 dates.
And did he get it?
I don't know, because Phil the Angry Biker started an Indiegogo campaign to follow the hipster around playing the accordion on all his dates to ruin them.
So, this is what the internet's about. This is what it's about.
This is what the internet... Finally! It's finally happening, everyone! What a time to be alive!
I mean, you can pay the guy with the accordion to follow him around on his dates.
I would pay the guy to follow me around the accordion just like on I'm gonna get you, sucker, with the theme music. That's what I want.
I mean, that only works if the guy ahead of him that gets the $13,000, doesn't it?
Probably. I don't think he put much thought into it.
You could crowdfund that guy, but it's just like, now I have all this money to follow him around with the accordion, but he never made his.
So just follow him around town.
Just follow him to the supermarket, like, this is for your failure.
And to clarify, he did answer everyone's question. He doesn't know how to play the accordion. So that's
This is brilliant.
I mean, if you have £1,000, because it's like £1,000,
I don't know.
Like 10,000 American dollars or something.
No,
like
I think it's like 2,000 or 3,000.
No, I think our dollar's pretty worthless right now. So he's pretty sure.
So you're sure the exchange rate is?
Yeah, it's about
$10 per pound.
So, but I imagine with that amount of money, you can just buy your dates. I think
he's trying to do. I think he's trying to say, hey, I have $1,000 per night,
and I know this madam.
Was he like relying on Kickstarter or what crowdfunder to get him like out there? Like people will see that he's made like £13,000.
I mean, probably. I think he's trying to just. I don't know. I honestly don't know if he's doing it seriously. I don't care to look it up. after the potato salad guy. I was like, eh, that's just how...
Potato salad.
Some guy asked on Kickstarter asked for $10 to make potato salad and got like $50,000.
He made a party out of it.
Yeah, he had a potato salad party and...
$50,000, man!
Oh,
God, fuck
it,
the
it,
internet.
It
fucking
made it
awesome.
Up. Hold on, hold on. That's what we're doing here.
But it made it up to 80,000, and then people were like, oh, this is serious? And then they pulled their funding, their pledge.
Yeah.
So. Because there's people pledging at, like, the ridiculously high amounts, thinking it was a joke. And those are the idiots, by the way. The people that thought it was a joke on Kickstarter.
Oh, and then made it because they were making...
Yeah.
Oh, so then they had, to pay?
The guy asked for, like, $10, and one of the amounts was, like, $1,000. If you pledge $1,000, he automatically gets it funded, and they're taking your $1,000. What do they think was going to happen?
Oh,
well, I'm going to pledge $10,000. He won't get the funding. You just gave it to him.
He had $10.
1,000 times over.
That's exactly how it works.
I never fund anybody, but, like, I don't know how does it work. Like if you pledge it, is it automatically take it out of your
it
account?
It doesn't take it until
it no, but is it like an escrow where like you have to have that money and
you have to have an Amazon account for Kickstarter. I don't know how Indiegogo works, and I think Amazon you have to set it up through your bank account.
So it could take it out. That's what I'm asking. It's like if it kickstarts and goes through, it can just take it out.
It won't take it out until it gets funded.
Right. Will it take it out automatically when it gets funded?
Yes. All right. It'll tell you, we're taking the money out at this date. If it gets funded, do you agree? And then you have to say,
and then it can take it out.
Through multiple steps.
Okay, but
it's... I mean, it funded several things.
All I want to know is it can automatically take it out of your account.
Yes.
Okay,
Yes.
Okay, next.
And you can have accounts that can't afford it, and then just they don't get the money from that.
Oh, then you get an overdraft.
Yeah. I mean, there's like sometimes...
And then you fund a potato salad, so now you can't pay your rent.
Yeah, exactly. And then you get mad at potato salad guy.
So your family's falling apart.
Yeah.
And then you get like where I was when I was a kid, where I spilled hot ramen on me on accident, and I made a bowl of hot ramen, and I spilled it on myself, and got really angry, and I was like, ow, ow, that hurts, fuck ramen for life.
Exactly. That guy's never gonna...
I'm never kickstarting anything.
No, I think he's gonna potato salad.
Yeah, he gets potato salad.
He's gonna see potato salad, he's gonna think about how his family broke up over him. His house has a second mortgage, he has to sell the car.
That's my potato salad mortgage.
His wife divorces him.
I mean, I'll take a stand right now. I'll put up a Kickstarter for $100. Each $100 every day, I'll follow Tony around for lunch and play the xylophone.
The xylophone?
I'll just walk into your office.
I'm not pledging. Yeah. I'm not funding that.
I'll pledge it. And then I'll go on a run.
I got straps. It's a marching band xylophone.
But can Bob, you ready for a job today?
I'll get a Segway. After a few $100, I'll invest in a Segway.
Yeah, but knowing Tony, he's like, today's the day I'm going to run a marathon for the first time. And just does it.
All the best.
So,
for $100 just to run, that's a good turnaround.
Yeah, I guess, you know. Right, both of us are getting healthier.
Now, for the heartbreaking story. I don't know if you guys ever saw the video that was posted all last week about the Danish archer, Lars Anderson. Showing
is this the guy that's jumping around and shooting two arrows at once?
I was so excited when I saw that footage, and then now they post a video debunking everything he's claiming, saying his shots are just typical archer trick shots that everyone knows about. I was like, I didn't know about it.
Wait, that's not...
He catches an arrow and uses that same arrow to shoot.
He catches an arrow and fires it back, and they're like, well, anyone can catch a slow-moving arrow.
Oh, my God.
Hey, this guy's not even accurate. He's just fast. Like, yes, he's fast!
Yeah, that's the whole point. You can hit targets moving fast.
If you got hit by an arrow, he does this thing where he's sitting at a table with, like, flips up two arrows, and, like, while he's falling back, hits two targets at once.
Yeah.
And then he just sits down. I'm like, if you had in any situation, this guy had a bow and he like did that at point blank.
He's like Hawkeye. I mean, a lot of the shots where he hits the big targets like 10, 15 feet away really fast, those are awesome. They don't really do the same thing to debunk that. They're basically saying his history is wrong. I was like, I don't care.
Yeah, well, I mean,
I don't go to watch a circus and say, what's the proper history of clowns?
Anybody who see, who hates on that, I mean, they're saying like, oh, the other people have done it. And
this,
blah,
is,
blah.
This is rare.
I mean, show it.
A million videos then already.
Tony hating the hater.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's in his wheelhouse.
I should say, defending the guy that was getting hated on. It's like, if I don't hate on him, no one's allowed to hate on him.
I just thought it was impressive. As a former archer myself,
I'm not surprised.
Hold on. Tell us about your archery experience.
Is this good?
Well, when I was a kid, I didn't have a lot of toys. So I would go to oleander bushes, which apparently are poisonous, and I was wondering why I always had trouble finishing my bows. I would cut an oleander bush, and apparently I would mildly poison myself. So I'd cut a branch of an oleander bush, and then make bows and arrows out of oleander bushes. So I have a little bit of a history knowing archery.
Do you use the Turkish thumb draw or the Mediterranean split three finger?
I don't know. I was kind of out of it.
He doesn't even make the bow and arrow.
He's just a former archer. You're a former bow maker.
Yeah.
Okay.
I boozily swing them off into traffic.
I started doing archery a couple of years ago, obviously because, you know, we watched Avengers and Brave, and I'm going to admit it here because I have no shame. I read the Hunger Games trilogy. Yes, yeah, it. So
that before or after you read Twilight?
Same time.
50 Shades and Hunger Games. So we got really into archery. I didn't do it like right away. I took my kids to a place where they had like this cheap group session thing. So they're teaching my kids how to use a bow and arrow. My wife tries one out, and I'm thinking that looks kind of fun. The guy goes, "Here, Dad, you try this one." He hands me like some fancy looking recurve bow. So I just, no one's showing me how to do anything. So I'm like, I watch enough cowboys and Indians to know what I'm doing.
Did you snap your arm?
Pow! Right in the left arm. And the guy's like, "Here, oh, you're left-handed. Here, try this one." Pow! Right on the right forearm. They didn't give me any forearm guards. My kids have the forearm guards. Yeah. I'm like, what the? No one said anything.
I think that was the thing. They were having fun with you.
See, yeah.
Probably.
That's
you're left-handed, they're like, he's going to do it again. Watch.
Yeah, watch this. I'm on YouTube now, probably. Check out Red Forearm Dad.
Yeah, I called that right because I've done that so many times where it just snaps against your forearm. Like,
oh, so you actually have done archery.
In my oleander wounds, I would snap it.
For more poison in your arms.
Then I make an open wound and then get more oleander inside of it.
I was determined to not hit myself in the arm anymore. So for almost a year, I was reading articles and watching YouTube videos and like holding like a pole going, oh, if you turn it this way, if you turn your arm, and then now I love archery. And then when I saw that video, that Lars Anderson video, I was like, I've been shooting wrong this whole year. And then I read the article, like, no, I haven't.
Just imagine Brian jumping around his backyard.
Yeah.
Trying to shoot two arrows at once. Was like,
I rolled my ankle and then shot myself in the wrist. How did you do that?
It went through my head.
How did you?
Come on, kids. Shoot an arrow at Danny.
Look, he's going to catch you and shoot it back. Call an ambulance.
We've all got oleander poisoning.
So we're using oleander arrows. Pulling their bolts.
So they don't turn the AC on in this room, huh? Is that...
No, that's one of my complaints about coming in here. It was going to be hot.
Oh, yeah. By the way, we are in a actual room today.
Oh, yeah. We got evicted. Our squatter cast is over now.
squatter cast.
We got evicted out of the cave that we were squatting in.
Las Vegas Metro decided we were too dangerous and had to shut down. CD4.
Well, now they know we're in Vegas.
Well, we're in Vegas, Algeria.
We're Florida men.
Vegas, Algeria.
Oh, are people just going to show up to Vegas? Where are these atomic mind dumpers? I got a thing or two about CrossFit I'm going to show them.
Kick them to death.
Oh no, crap the god!
If I get shot with an oleander arrow.
These are dangerous, man.
Just three arrows at once.
It's still got the flowers on it, the tip, so it just sticks in you, the flowers stick out.
So, should we keep going or should we defend Lars Anderson, real world Hawkeye?
Dude, that guy's awesome, and I don't care what the internet has to say, because the internet's going to hate on everything. Have you seen YouTube comments? It's just people killing each other.
They're literally dying from
words. They're setting up death contracts right over YouTube on the comments. I bid $75 for this contract. Who's willing to kickstart this?
I will kill this man with potato salad and ruin his family. Alright, so last story I've got. This is probably the least interesting one. This is Chinese scientists have found out how to improve your odds at rock, paper, scissors. And I will not be spreading the news because I want to win all the time.
What? Is that true? That's an article, or is that just like an onion article?
Is it really Chinese scientists?
What is it? Zhang Kempo?
Or paper, rock, scissors. Or scissors, paper, stone if you're in the UK. I think that's what they said.
Huh.
You know where the Senate is.
Scissors, paper, stone.
Scissors, paper, stone.
And fucking Brits, dude.
So one time, I was so fed up with everyone wanting to do paper, rock, scissors to determine everything. I was just saying, from now on, I'm just using scissors because I don't care how it turns out. So I was playing against my brother for shotgun, and I was like, I'm just using scissors, and I still won.
Mind fucked him.
He's like, no, it was a Jedi mind trick. He thought, I was like, well, no, he's not going to throw scissors because that's dumb. So is it paper or rock that he's going to throw? Scissors. That's what I threw. I ran with scissors. And everyone got cut. That was the only one I ever won because it turns out if you run around telling everyone that you're only throwing scissors,
they don't believe you.
No, you'll never win at paper, rock, scissors. So the Chinese scientists have said, don't tell them what you're going to use.
Wait, is that actually in that article? Really?
Well, okay. The article's saying, what they don't give you is the opening move. You know how, like, most Americans, they like rock. The rock. Yeah, rock. But what they're saying is if you lose, you're supposed to use... The one that the winner will most likely use the same thing again. So if you lose to rock, you're supposed to use paper because they're most likely going to use rock again.
Oh, so you got to win like at a 2 out of 3 kind of
it's
deal?
It's a 2 out of 3. It's not just a straight up.
That's
bullshit.
That's not.
Then you got to be a loser saying 2 out of 3, 2 out of 3, 4 to 7.
You got to be that kid.
4 to 7.
I thought the thing was going to be like just. All you gotta do is wait half a second before they throw the arrows. You go, oh, okay.
That's what the Chinese are doing.
Yeah, that was their answer. Isn't that just cheating?
Through meditation and the practice of kung fu, you can read your opponent's thoughts.
The best way to win is no
kidding. Before every paper, rock, scissors thing, they're just doing Tai Chi and getting their mojo ready.
Well, what they're also saying is if you win... Like, if you win with rock, that means they had scissors. You have to assume they're going to use rock, so you have to use paper.
Yeah. I wonder why scientists study that. Because one thing is, what is that like? What is that going to solve? Is it like a, is there a guy at the button of the nuclear, you know, missile?
I mean, is there
like, should we launch this or should we not?
Two out of three. Two out of three.
So they actually sent researchers in on it so they can win this. I really need to launch these missiles, guys.
I don't know if it's Chinese scientists, but it's like, I think it's mathematicians in China.
I just imagine them with beakers and tubes. They're like, just reading notes, and they're like, that's how you win 3 months.
That's it. This is it.
You know what they? What it actually is? They're sitting behind like a hacker who's like hacking into the U.S. Pentagon, and they're just stealing their studies on the
reactors. So you're saying China didn't even do the research? Oh. So America's wasted money research.
Yeah.
On paper rock scissors.
You realize you're the half Mexican one. You can't say racist thing about the Asians.
He's also the only racist one on this
planet. That's not true. Everyone's racist. Here's a story.
We're inwardly racist.
Here's a story. There's a place. There's the Museum of Tolerability or Museum of Tolerance, or I don't know where it's at. I forget. It's in New York or something. But one of the things, the first thing when you enter the museum, which is, this is a really genius concept, is you go in there and there's two doors, right, to enter the museum. And one door says, racist, enter here, you know. One, the other door says, racist, don't enter here. I mean, no, non-racist, enter here. And you go to the racist door, you know, you can go in, fine. You go to the non-racist door and it's locked.
I guess I'll just wait till this door is open.
The line of people waiting. I'm waiting for this line.
Yeah.
I don't want to be that.
Somebody must be in the non-racist.
And you're like, imagine like you're the only white guy, and there's like a tour of like South Alabama black children. You're like, you can't go in there at the same time.
You push him out of the way. Excuse me.
Since I'm being forced to enter this door, the white man wants to first.
There's a color door around the corner.
And then you go around the door and it's actually just rainbow colored.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just a colored door.
That is good. Turns out that redneck guy's not a racist.
He says the cool door.
I guess that redneck guy's a black friend.
He deserves to go to the non-racist door. Somebody get the key.
Somebody get the key. The line's backing up at the non-racist door.
That's so, how much you want to bet that's just their storage closet where all the books are kept? Like, they think they're so clever. That door doesn't go to anything. Non-racists clean the fucking lines.
But,
Alright, do you want to wrap this thing up?
What time is it? Oh, yeah.
I've been thinking about how to do this Cards Against Humanity, say something nice about bit. And
that
I realized.
Because that puts me on the spot.
It puts me on the spot. But.
I don't like that.
We're gonna give you. I figured they'd give you the opportunity because it does put you on the spot, and there are topics that like this is like retarded to talk about. So I'm gonna give you like two passes, but the third one you have to do.
Okay. All
you right. Can't just put three cards. I would say pick one. That's too easy, right?
Yeah, I gotta read it out loud.
All right.
For our audio podcast, I put two cards out.
Or have Tony read.
Yeah, I can just read them in my head.
No, I got the whole bit.
Okay.
Tony, say something nice about dying of dysentery.
Dying of dysentery?
And you can't say it because you're drunk.
Get to that.
One less mouth to feed on Oregon Trail.
That's been our podcast.
Like mine.